Lesson this evening is going to be called this, Stand Firm. In this day and age, we see around us a quickly changing and a fast-paced world. Technology has brought us information that can be had at the push of a button as it somehow flies through space to a handheld computer. Our vehicles are becoming more and more complex, and money is to be made for companies who can come up with new and the latest up-to-date entertainment. We've become accustomed to becoming instantly gratified when we want something, having little time for patience or its rewards. Now, where do we as members of Church of Christ fit into this new and changing society? How can the church compete with all the other options out there? I recently heard on a radio advertisement last week that a church in a community wanted to do away with the old worship and the traditions of the old people and grandparents, as they called them. And they wanted to be hip and up to the new and changing ways of today's youth. They wanted to create a worship tailored for the young, complete with live Christian rock bands who would have their albums ready to sell right after the worship. We constantly see, not just in bigger cities, but even in our area, church buildings are popping up like weeds. You look down 191, they're all over the place coming up. And this is very exciting, and excitement is high for those involved in this. And they claim to be ready to fill the needs of those who attend. Well, with all of this growth and competition for Jesus, where does this leave the Church of Christ? Many believe the Church of Christ is an old, stern, out-of-date way of thinking type of church. To them, the Church of Christ has too many rules. Its members won't allow the use of the newest and coolest instruments or the latest fads in entertainment. And it's the same thing week after week. Some of them say if I go back in 2 months, they're still going to be singing the same old songs, same type of songs. And I'm going to be listening to some old, out-of-touch with today's society preacher who doesn't have a clue how the real world is. Well, we know that the Church of Christ must remain as a beacon to those who are looking for true salvation. It must be the city on a hill whose light cannot be hidden in Matthew 5:15. This is especially true in a world that seems to be getting darker and darker without consideration of who gets trampled on or left behind. It's a world that says, I have to be first, and it doesn't matter who I run over or hurt to get this accomplished, as long as I feel good about myself inside. It's also a world that says, hey, worship whenever, whoever, whatever you like, as long as you worship from your heart and it feels right and good. The Church of Christ has to be the solid rock and foundation that will never be destroyed and that people can always come back to and count on, even in the worst times of their lives, in search of salvation. The Church of Christ must set the standard, be an example, and the pattern for others to follow according to God's will. Tonight we're going to explore three ways the church can remain as a solid foundation no matter what challenges face it. We must remember that the church should imitate Christ. And also in the church, discipline is required. And third is to be strong in faith. First of all, the Church of Christ is and should be like Christ. If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. This is from the New International Version. Ephesians 5, verse 1. It says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So if we want to imitate Christ, we have to know what the one we want to imitate is like. Well, first of all, in reference to the church, Christ is one who does not change. If you look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. A lot of tonight's from Hebrews. It's a lot of good stuff in Hebrews. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God does not change. Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 and 4 says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock, His works are perfect, and all His ways are just. The faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is He. This passage was recited by Moses, and it tells us of the God we worship and describes Him as the rock. Now, the rock that we know of, the foundation that does not change, it never changes. So that is our foundation. It also says that He is perfect. If something's perfect, you don't have to change it. All His ways are just. It doesn't say some of the ways are kind of squirrely. It shows all of His ways are just. He is a faithful God. He does no wrong. And He's upright and just. We're also told in Hebrews 13, verse 5, to keep our lives free from the love of money and be content with what we have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. This passage warned us about the love of money, and also was referring to another passage in Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verse 6, in which Moses was giving over leadership to Joshua. This passage, it says in Deuteronomy 31, 6, says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And God said He would be with His people no matter what, as long as they trusted in Him and followed His will. Now, back in the Old Testament, He helped them cross the Red Sea, helped them fight and win battles that they should have never been able to possibly win by man's standards. And He told His people He continued to be with them as long as they followed His will. And we read of part times they do follow Him and times that they don't, and the consequences of each. And we're not to imitate Christ in a way that we never want to change anything at all, or change the ways that we can help bring others to Christ. I'm not trying to say that. There's not different ways to do things, but we should try to keep the... Instead, we should keep the Lord's church the way He intended it for it to be. We know God is perfect. He does no wrong. And if we decide to change from the way God wants things done, we choose to ignore His perfect ways of how He requires the church to be. God will not leave or forsake us. We're the ones who decide to leave Him. As members of Christ's church, we have an obligation to worship God and conduct ourselves as He has commanded. Also, besides being imitators of God, we must maintain discipline. Today our society is tremendously lacking in this area. This is evident in the number of people who fill our jails and harm others and tear up people's belongings due to their disregard for laws that have been put in place. We commonly see a lack of discipline from people in Hollywood, as well as professional athletes. They're all over the news all the time. Many of them feel that discipline is for others and it's not for them. They should be the exception that gets away with everything. I believe that discipline must begin within our families. And let's look at Proverbs 23:13. See what it says about that. Proverbs 23:13 says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Now, that goes both ways. You can punish him with a rod, he's not going to die physically, but he's also may save him spiritually. Proverbs 22:15 says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. When we're children, it's a brand new world. We're going to explore whatever we can do to see what we can get away with, and some things are bad for us. We don't know the difference. It's where discipline comes in. We have to learn what's right and what's wrong. Also, let's turn to Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11. We'll read that together. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11 says, and you have forgotten that the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Verse 9 says, "Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for good, for our good, that we may share in His holiness." Verse 11, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Well, some of us, we might feel bad about disciplining our child. We feel kind of bad for spanking them or sending them to corner for a while or taking something away from them that they'd like. But discipline is not a bad thing. It shows here in the Bible. Proverbs 23:13. If you turn to that, the discipline must begin with our within our families. Proverbs 23:13 says, "Do not." Oh, I already read that. I'm sorry. I lost my place. Discipline helps us realize that what we're doing is wrong and that there are consequences for improper behavior. Now, without discipline, there is no love, and we allow those who go without discipline to die. The church must have discipline. God disciplines us as well out of love for us, and He does not want to see us perish. And our discipline allows us to worship God in an orderly fashion and to be at peace with one another no matter what differences we may have with our fellow Christians. Finally, the church must maintain us. Christians within the church must maintain faith. Hebrews 11:1 tells us what faith is. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see." Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Think about that. Somebody asks you if you have faith in something. Think about what you really have faith in. Something we cannot see, but we know it's there. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. I'll read that right quick. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, this tells us why we have to have faith. "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." So we have to have faith if we're within the church. If we don't have faith, then we're lost. Hebrews 11, verse 7 speaks about Noah. "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By this faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." Now, Hebrews chapter 11 shows a lot of different people who had faith. We'll read a few more of them. Verse 11 says, "By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise." What would we say today if somebody was out building an ark, or if somebody had been told they're going to have a child by God and then they were too old? Would we probably think they're crazy? But they had faith in it and they did it because God told them. Now verses 23 through 28. Verse 23 speaks about Moses. "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time." So Moses decided it'd be better to be picked on and ridiculed than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. How we should be. "He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward." He knew he'd have a greater reward than what they could give him. He could have all the treasures on earth and still be lost. "By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. The Israelites, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. The Egyptians didn't have faith in God, and they died. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. And God told them to do these things, and they did them without wondering. Well, they may have wondered why, but they did it. And God today doesn't tell us, go march around the city and I'll destroy it, or if you go to your enemies and stand up to them and fight them, then I'll destroy them here right now in front of you. He doesn't do that anymore, but he does tell us to do other things. Those are the things that we have to keep faith in and know that he's going to give us what he promises. We have faith that he'll give us a home in heaven. So we have to keep the faith, and it is what keeps us going even when things do not seem to go our way or when everything seems to be stacked against us. Sometimes we may feel down because the church is not growing like all the other denominations we see around us. And we allow ourselves to become discouraged and to make ourselves, and sometimes we may appear to make ourselves indifferent toward worship. Sometimes this can be discouraging to those who come to visit with us, some of whom may not yet know God. We must fight against this and remember to have faith that God is in control of us. God will add to the church, and we must be willing to spread the seed of His Word. And with faith in God, as shown by those who have lived before us, impossible things become possible. Imitating Christ and His love can be very powerful to those who see us when we're away from church, when we're away from worship in this building. And it can be one of the best ways to spread the gospel. Imitating Christ also shows that we're unable to be moved from our beliefs and that we know what we believe enough to defend it when we're challenged and to share it with others. Maintaining discipline in the church is also something we should learn from a young age. God knows that discipline is a show of love, not something that hurts people. And faith in what God has given us is what we have no matter where we are, and it's something that we know is there, even when others will try to convince us otherwise. Many will wonder why we believe in what we do and why we believe in it so strongly. It is up to us as members of Christ's church to share this with them and through our example, our deeds, and in what we say and what we teach. So, pretty much in today's society, we should stick out from everybody else. We shouldn't be on the bandwagon of the latest trends, having bands come perform saying it's worship and selling albums afterwards. That's not what God wants us to do, really. We can get into that further. When Jesus goes into the temple, there's people in there using him to make money. But we should be different. We should be that city on the hill that everybody can look toward and go to. Let us always remember to be proud of being different and to rejoice in the suffering when we do what God wants us to do. Others may make fun of us or ridicule us. They may make remarks about how we worship and our stubbornness concerning changing our worship from how the Bible teaches. We must remember that we are a city on a hill giving the light to those around in this dark world who need it. And we should remember not to let that light dwindle down to a small flicker, but to make it reach to all portions of the world. If there's anyone here tonight who has a need for the church, have any problems at all, that's what we're here for. You can come forward as we stand and sing.